Hello, Rainbow Radio. This is Jocelyn Chaplin. I am a priestess of Equalia, the goddess Equalia, who I'm going to talk about today. I'm also a psychotherapist and artist, and have written a number of books, including Deep Equality and Love in an Age of Uncertainty. But people often ask me, who is this Equalia that you're a priestess of? Who is she? It? Them? So I'm going to talk today about, I have been working with her for about 5 years now. She came to me in a meditation as a very dramatic figure, very beautiful, and really in a form of the double helix. She is the equalizing force that lies underneath everything in the cosmos. She is underneath the subatomic particles as they move and dance at the tiniest levels that we yet energy, to the enormous movements of the cosmos. And she's part of us in many, many ways. She's the equalizing rhythm that flows throughout nature. This equalizing force that's around in nature is mirrored by the desire in the souls of humanity to be equal as human beings. Deep down inside our core, we all know that we are equal. We feel it, we sense it. And many, many peoples over thousands and tens of thousands of years have developed societies that are in tune with these rhythms, these what I call equalizing methods of connecting through spiritual practices, through creating societies that are relatively egalitarian. There might be people like priests or priestesses, shamans, who are able to link in really effectively with these rhythms, these equalizing rhythms of nature. But they are not hierarchical. And one of the problems of the last 5,000 years is that we have developed these really hierarchical societies in which we have lost touch. Because she was around with all the ancient goddesses going back to the times of more egalitarian societies, when people honoured the feminine and the female as well as the masculine and the male. And there were places of equality in many, many regards. The society change the societies into one. So today, we are in a situation where, with the Me Too movement and many other factors, the old patriarchal ways of thinking, patriarchal religions, the old patriarchal hierarchies are being questioned and dissolved throughout all societies in different ways and in different places. Now is a time, a really important time in human history, after 5,000 years, when the change is happening faster and faster. And we need, as both women and men, to have a spiritual dimension to the political changes that are happening. In the present moment, with more equal societies who want fairer distribution of money, who want people to be respected equally, who want people who are very rich to give away their money to those who aren't, so that we don't have the 1% and the 99% massive inequalities that are around the world. There's a great passion for the left today, and it's rising in many, many parts of the world, from the Syriza people in Greece to Podemos in Spain, back to the Occupy movement a few years back, to what's happening here in the UK with the Jeremy Corbyn encouragement of the young people, especially going leftwards. Because for 20, 30 years, we've been going rightwards, and now the left has come back with quite a strong support from, you know, millions and millions of people, not just in Europe, but around the world too. But at the moment, the left tends to be rather materialistic, tends to focus on a spiritual dimension to left-wing politics. And this has been the case for a long time. Back in the 60s, John Lennon actually said accusing the revolutionaries of having minds that hate. He said, where are we today with these conflicts between the so-called hippies and the so-called lefties? These, of course, are stereotypical titles, but there was a real divide in those days between people who saw spiritual change as being the most important and people who saw political and economic change as being most important. And I feel that the time has come to develop a spirituality that is particularly geared towards the left and the left belief in equality and in equalizing. I think the very word equalizing, which implies a process, an ongoing process of movement between opposites, what is high will become low, what is low will become high, as the Taoists would say. This kind of spirituality is so badly needed in the world today because we have an opposition between secularism and left-wing politics and the sort of spirituality that the Daily Mail is very keen on, which is about our inner worlds, and right-wing or non-political beliefs at all. We do not get very much in the middle. We don't get people who are both left-wing and spiritual, unless we include people like the Quakers and other Christians. Many, many Christians and people of the patriarchal religions are very left-wing and very concerned about inequality. But the problem is that their basic religion is essentially patriarchal. It came from 2000, 1000 BC at the very, very earliest, so it's relatively recent. And these religions, at their heart, A, they look down on women in particular, and B, they don't have equality at their heart. They have the idea of the one true God who's superior to other gods. Whereas a left-wing spirituality would be far more pluralistic. That's why equalia is so important, because she, it, them, they are a concept of a spiritual being who is forever moving, forever changing, and forever balancing, and bringing together the balancing forces of nature with the balancing forces of human society, which indigenous tribes would have known about and still do, but that civilization, so-called civilizations, have completely forgotten and are now bent on filling our whole world with material competition, to be constantly climbing the ladder of aspiration, to get higher and higher and more important and more possessions and more experiences, so you can tell your neighbor, oh, I've been to India, or I've been here, or I've been to China. And it's all about competing. And equalia is the complete opposite of competition. Equalia is the force and the being who is able to see the other as equal. So many of us know, like even in our close friendships, that we're often not equal with our friends. How many of you have had the feeling that a friend that you're very fond of never seems to phone you? You're always the one calling them, or texting them, or emailing them, or contacting them to meet. And after a while, after maybe months or maybe even years, you realize that this is not an equal friendship. That's at a very, very minor level, because equality can help us in our everyday life as well as in looking at the bigger picture. And most of the time, it's a bit like a fish being in water. We're living in hierarchical thinking almost every minute of every day. We're looking up to people. We want to know about what celebrities are doing, whether they're celebrities in Hollywood or whether they're celebrities in our own field, or, you know, celebrities who are maybe musicians we like, or people who we see as superior to us. There's nothing wrong with finding people interesting and wanting to follow them, but to actually see another human being as superior is already a hierarchical mindset. On the other hand, we also see people as inferior without even realizing. You know, and this is what the Me Too movement has brought up, is that so many men in power automatically see women primarily as sex objects, therefore inferior. And this has been deep in the unconscious, a deep remnant of patriarchal religions and thinking of all of us, including me. I mean, we've all got that in our unconscious, and we need to work at it and think about it, but we cannot do it purely rationally. We need to have something more than the rational arguments of the left. Marx famously said that religion is the opium of the masses. But actually, what the left needs now is exactly that, a spirituality which is able to bring us this sense of deep equality, a sense of real, not just respecting or tolerating, I hate that word tolerance, another being or another group, but actually seeing them as equal. Not the same, equality is not the same, but as equally valuable, equally worthwhile. And to do that, the kind of change that we need deep in our unconscious, deep in our hearts, deep in our core, requires a new spirituality. And this is where the goddess Equalia comes in. I've been working with the ideas of equalizing rhythms for many, many years. I mean, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and writing about it, but without a being that we can actually relate to, without an actual being who can be imaged. We need images to go along with this concept of Equalia. And I use the image very much, my favorite image is actually the double helix, because we all have DNA, and that's one thing that we connect with. We're all humans. We all have the DNA within us. So that double helix image is very, very powerful and potent. But also I sometimes image her as a female goddess, someone like the Rhea, who was the head goddess, if you like, of the ancient Greeks, the mother of Zeus. And she was also a representation of the rhythm of life, Rhea the rhythm. And sometimes I image Equalia as a female goddess. Sometimes she's a very vague form who's just dancing away. She is the dance of the universe, the dance within us. But also she can be a comforting figure, even a mother figure, if that's what we need. So we can sit on the lap of Equalia and feel her arms around us, feel her comforting us. In fact, we can choose really whatever image we find most helpful. There is no set in stone image of Equalia. All images can be used for her. And she has both sides. She's always the dark and the light. In fact, I even wrote a kind of song. It was intended to be a rap, but I'm not a natural rapper. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read this out to you as a song, which is called Equalia, the long-lost future goddess. She's both very ancient, and also I see her as the hope of the future. Because without Equalia, and without a deep sense of equality, all the things that are changing in the world now are going to be lesser, because they don't have that spiritual underpinning. We've got to remember that human beings for tens of thousands of years have always connected to the other dimensions in one way or another. And without that, our left-wing hopes and visions are not going to come to full fruition. So let me read to you this song that I composed a few months ago, and it's called The Equalia Song. She's more and she's less, the worst and the best. She's black and she's white, she's day and she's night. Even before the famous Big Bang, contracting, expanding, Equalia sang. Retreating, advancing, forever she's dancing. The real force with no source, always awake, the mystic snake. She's the Tao with no name, accepting all with no blame, never the same, needing no fame. She comes and she goes with our joys and our woes. We honour you, Ma, great Equalia. So we can honour her without worshipping her. We do not want to bow down towards her as we might bow down to some other gods or images. The gesture that is most associated with Equalia, as it was with many ancient goddesses, is the raising of the arms. Raising the arms to the sky. Raising them rather than bowing in deference, but sharing in the joy of her being. For she is a joyful being. And joy is one of the most important expressions of her being. She can also, of course, rage when there is injustice, because she is the goddess of justice, one who wants to dissolve hierarchies, wants to change things where there is deep injustice. But she can be angry, she can also be joyful. And that when we are in tune with her, and when we are in touch with our own core, and we really see other people as equal, joy is a natural response. It's a spontaneous, natural response. It's far more joyful to see other people as equal than to look up to them and bow down before them, or to look down on them and feel that we are somehow superior. No, equality is joyful. It's fun. It's something that we can get pleasure from. There's pleasure in equality. So often the word equality seems a dry word for, you know, left-wing committees in committee rooms, in lots of paper and bureaucracy. No, equality is the joy of life. It's the delight of being able to dance with other humans who are equal to us. And so many people, for example, in the old rave culture, which I have a lot of respect for, would dance in that feeling of everyone being equal. Many tribes, many indigenous peoples, many cultures have circle dancing, which is a very equalizing dance. There are a great many ways in which human beings have been able to live Equalia's way. And we can do it today. And instead of the misery and the pain of always trying to prove that we're better than other people somehow by having a new profile on Facebook or by somehow, you know, wearing the latest fashions, which kind of makes us feel failures when we don't succeed, because everybody who reaches to the top of a ladder has also left behind them people who are at the bottom of a ladder. So we want to do away with ladders altogether. We want the game of snakes and ladders to change into the snakes and the serpent, and the joy of the serpentine way of energies, the serpentine flow of energies through the universe, to take over from those rigid ladders. We don't want to feel anymore that we're better or worse than other people. We want to be able to really know deep in our hearts and in our core that we're not, and they're not. This sounds like perhaps an idealistic dream today, but it's a dream that many, many people, including John Lennon with his marvellous song Imagine, many people have dreamed this dream from the movements of the levellers throughout the different centuries, 19th century, people wanting socialism, people wanting anarchism, people longing for a different way of being. They are longing for that with the depths of themselves. And within that is a spirituality that goes with it. It isn't only about the law. Yes, we are equal under the law in this country. Not everywhere, but there's a lot of equality in law. But it's not just about the law. It's about the real depth of our knowing that Equalia lives. And she's being reborn at this time in so many ways. And that if we live in tune with her, we're able to come back into the present moment all the time, because each moment is equal to every other moment. And in that moment, we can be aware of one of the greatest ways in which we attune to Equalia, and that is through our breath. Because our breath is in, and our breath is out. We cannot but be with the rhythm of our breath. So long as we're breathing, so long as we're alive, the breath of Equalia is with us. We breathe in and we breathe out. We breathe in and we breathe out. And we can even speak our name, Jocelyn. Or better still, the name of Equalia herself. Eh, as we breathe in, and Qualia slowly as we breathe out. Eh, as we breathe in, Qualia as we breathe out. And this is one of the simplest spiritual practices that there is. Most spiritualities and religions do something around the breath. But the spirituality of Equalia makes the breath absolutely central, because she, it, is with us all the time. And we can stop at any moment, whether we're walking down the street, whether we're in the kitchen, whether we're in a room, or whether we're out on the hillside. We can just stop and remember that we are here in this moment, equal to every other moment, and breathe and notice our breath as Equalia comes in and Equalia goes out. And we would die very quickly if we just took one side of the great rhythm of the breath. And when we are in touch with our breathing, we can also tune into the great rhythms of nature, the rhythms of the seas as the waves lap on the shore and go back into the sea, the rhythms of the seasons, the rhythms of all parts of nature balancing away the opposites. And there is no final goal, there is no final solution, there is no end to this balancing. And even before the Big Bang, some people believe there was the bounce theory, where, you know, everything just expands and then it contracts. Everything is endlessly flowing with Equalia, with the rhythms of her change, her endless change. And so I will leave you with just a bit of information. My website is at the Serpent Institute. It's www.serpentinstitute.com. And I would hope that you would be able to get from this talk some ideas, some inspiration. And you can always contact me on joechaplin@yahoo.com.